Hope it doesn't bother you that sitting here learning, you know, looks like I didn't finish preparing yet. It's okay. There's actually a Rav in Europe.
Help you.
Oh, yeah, help me. It would be very appreciated, actually. I enjoy schmoozing. I'm not a big giving shir guy, so the more feedback I can get, better. Yeah, there's actually a Rav in Europe that he went right after he got his position, so he wanted to sit and learn. So the Beis Medrash had a bunch of svarim that he didn't have. He went to the Beis Medrash, he started pulling out svarim, opened up in front of him, he's sitting, he's learning, concentrating, it's great. He noticed somebody came in, didn't bother him, another person came in. Eventually, he looks up and he sees in front of him is the whole island there. So he asks, okay, hey, what's up? You know, these are the chashuv people from the community. They said, well, we hired you as a rav, we thought you were finished learning. We see you're still continuing, so you're not finished yet. So I think we want to fire you. Anyways, all right. I heard you guys learn. Normally, you learn Nach every week,
right?
Right. Ephraim Levin does something, right? Ezra. So, I mean, if we could really do a little bit of that, but I figured, you know, just we talk about why is it nobody learns Nach? You guys are renegades. So. I mean, it's funny, you know, the yeshiva world, it's a good lifestyle, it's great for Torah, great for the world, it's just we have our own little quirks, you know, one of them is the fact that, like, things like Nach and Mishnayis, you know, basics that everyone used to know before they started learning Gemara are just, like, out of style.
Well, so Weizmann has been giving it for
25
years.
Well, a little bit of renegade himself, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, he's one of my Rebbeim, yeah, Baruch Hashem, I got a line here from him. So, it's funny. You know, there are Gemaras that kind of form a basis of this. It's not like a new Shita, you know, you should focus on Gemara all day. Truth is, Gemara is a big pivot that everything hangs on. You can't really understand Mikra, you can't understand Tanakh, unless you have the words of Chazal guiding you. You won't be able to understand what comes afterwards. Halacha, what do you do in your daily life, unless you understand the reasons. You understand the reasons behind them, which is the Gemara. It's kind of the pivot that everything revolves around. You have Tanakh and Mishnayos on one side, you have, you know, Rishayim and Achrayim on the other side. That's really the pivot. The Rav Chaim Lajner used to say that he never paskins a halacha unless he sees the source of it in the Gemara. So it is a very, obviously, that's the pivot, you know, that's, you really have to get yourself clear in the Gemara.
But the Gemara gets the sources from the Tanakh.
Right.
Reverse in some ways.
That's true. So that's exactly. So we find in the Mishnah and Aves, it says before you even start Gemara, you're supposed to start Gemara at 15. I mean, you know, I remember I started when I was 10. It's probably the norm nowadays. It's you know, Mikra is from when you're 5, Mishnah when you're 10, Gemara when you're 15. You know, you already have everything in your back pocket. You understand these Gemaras. I mean, so a lot of Gemaras you just can't understand unless you have clarity in the previous things. For anybody here who learns Daf Yomi, we had a while back, we had a bunch of Daf in a row, just straight Mishnayis and Taros. Even the biggest Lamdin got lost there. You're just not familiar with the concepts, you get bogged down in just the basics, what should really be the basics, you just read it. So people learned Mishnayis, you just read those Gemara, those are like the easiest Daf, and the reverse for anybody who went straight to Gemara. So again, it's not actually a new shita. There's bring you a couple gemaras. There's a gemara in Brachos Chaf Chesem Aleph that when Eliezer was being nifter, so his talmidim came to be mevaker chaylim. I mean, he wasn't really a chayla anymore. He's about to die, and he gave them advice. One of the pieces of advice he gave them is menei benecha min hagoyin, hold back your sons from reading. Rashi explains, don't make sure they don't learn too much mikra. Why? Because it pulls you. Now, what does that mean? I mean, there's more than one pshat. Well, the most popular pshat is that it pulls you towards minus. I don't know if that's Pasha Pshat and Rashi, but I have another pshat that I'll hopefully get time to share with you later. And we see that a lot. I mean, there's a lot of examples, a lot of things in Mikra you'll get the wrong ideas from. Right? It's a lot of things just can't be understood. I mean, even Chumash itself. Right, you have Reuven with the bed, right? He switched around the beds. I mean, Chazal right away say, no, he never did what you think he did. And And they bring riots from Sukkim later in Vayichi, right? That he's included in the, and right away in the Pasuk, he's included right away in the list of Shvatim. So he's a great person. He really didn't do what you thought he would do, and what he thought, what you thought he did. And, you know, there's, like the Achronim point out, that, you know, really, if you read just the Pesukim, read Pesukim in Tanakh, you're going to get the wrong ideas about a lot of things. Rav Henkin has a tshuva where he's very stark about the way that you have to learn Tanakh. You can't just read the Pashat Pshat and Pesukim. You have to read it with a veer of Kedusha. Realize what you're reading. You're reading like holy words. And he says people who just read it as historia, they get the impression that, hey, Am Yisrael are a bunch of warriors. We showed up in Eretz Yisrael, we knocked out all Zayin Umos, and, you know, we killed, wiped out, you know, Mekayim the Pasuk, Kehil Chasa, Lefichaya Kol Neshama. And, you know, then we think that we're a nation of warriors, right? Dida Netzach, right? And he says that's not the way of Klal Yisrael. It's not the way of Klal Yisrael. We're not getting up to rise against the other people. It's when, you know, we have a tzivay from Hashem, of course, we do what's right. But we're a nation, you know, we sit, we do mitzvahs, we take care of our families, right? That's our derech. And, Chashmonaim, right? Everyone emphasized by Hanukkah, the Chashmonaim. What were they? They were mighty warriors, and they fought with guerrilla tactics, and they knocked out the Yevanim. You know, we focus a lot on the Nes and the Dusha that came out of it. That's really what the Nes was. However, Hashem wanted the Nes to come about, doesn't really make a difference. We're not a nation that we're, you know, we go and we kill and smash. I mean, the Gemara talks about Germany. That Germany was like that, a nation of bunch of warrior bands, and, you know, they had like 250 different tribes running around and knocking each other off. And
The Huns,
right, the Huns. And there's lots of, if you look in history, there was a whole tribal area. Sometimes they would grow into large tribes, and they'll head south to Rome and cause a rampage over there, yeah. So, but that's not Klal Yisrael. We're not all Char B'Chasichya. If comes time for Hashem to give us a tzivu, we can come back to Esav with Char B'Chasichya, Meher of Yomeinu. But that's not our midah. And you get a lot of other misimpressions about it. And I believe I saw in one of the Chareinim, it could be the brother of the Shla, why were the Apikursim so into reading Tanakh? They're very into because by reading it, you get to see it all. It talks about all the bad that Klal Yisrael did at that time a lot. It focuses a lot on that. It doesn't focus on the 40 years in between when we were perfect. It focuses on the 2 years that we're married. We did what Hashem didn't want. He sent the Plishtim after us, and, you know, a Shefi came up and saved us, you know, after we davened. So, you know, there's a lot of in between. In Bechlal, the Yidden were huge tzaddikim. I mean, we had the Beis Mikdash in those days, which weren't zeichet to yet, so we can imagine how great they were. And but by looking at it, we get to, you know, it says all the faults they were. So, look, in those days also they did things wrong, so we're not so bad. That's the Apikursim, like focusing on that a lot. You bring, you talk about the great people, Shlomo, right? Shlomo says he served, the, you know, he did all three, you know, all the various he weren't supposed to do about being a melech, right? He's brought in horses, he married too many wives, and, you know, whatever his cheshem was. But, you know, it focuses, it says he built bamis. He built for Avodah Zarah, for this Avodah Zarah, that Avodah Zarah. Gemara says, Chas v'chali, he never built bamis. He just was a meicha and his wives that were serving Avodah Zarah. Just like the Gemara, the Mishnah, the Gemara says, there's a Mishnah in Shabbos, I believe we just did. Parasit shel b'yadar ha'yotze b'chut sheben karneah. It walked out, it had a ribbon in its horns, and that was considered a masi, because animals aren't supposed to wear jewelry on Shabbos, and you can't have your animals walking around with adornment. And the Gemara says, what do you mean, his cow? He was an extremely, extremely wealthy individual. He had 1,000 cities, 1,000 ships. He was extremely wealthy. I mean, his cow.
What are you talking
his
about?
One cow. Reb Eliezer. Right? Reb Eliezer of Ben Azaria, was it? Was it Ben Azaria? It was... So the Gemara says that Elamai, it meant his neighbor. He had a neighbor who had one cow, and that was we call it his para because he was a meichen, his neighbor. But all these things are insights you get only from learning Gemara, only from getting clarity in Gemara, understanding what the Gemara is trying to tell you. The Chazal have a clear outlook in life and a clear outlook in how to learn up something, how to analyze something. And the way they learn Tanakh, that's the way you're supposed to read it. You're supposed to learn it. You're not supposed to just read it. So I think, I mean, just Pashup Shah in the Gemara. Menea and Bincha min Hagoyen. Stop them from reading. That means don't get them to read too much Mikra. And I have a raya. Right, that's what it means, because there's a different Gemara in Shabbos. We're going to get to it sooner or later in Perikol Kisvei, Kuftes Zayin on the Beis. It says on Shabbos you're not supposed to read Mikra. Right, you should get the Rav can give a drasha. You're not supposed to be learning Mikra on Shabbos. Why? Because Bittul Beis Hamedrash. It's going to be Bittul Torah. They get together finally once a week. They have a Minuchas Nefesh. They get to sit and learn, and everyone's just learning, you know, Nach. So.
The Gemara. Definitely, right.
It's a chiv, right? You have to keep up with it. It's true. Okay, but just to explain what that Gemara was, just the pshat in that Gemara. The Gemara says, but the Gemara continues. It says, "Avo shainim v'darshin b'mikra." You can learn it and you can darshin it. So it says you can't read it. You're not supposed to have just people reading through Nach, but you can give a drush on it, because they're learning it, learning out the lessons you learn from Tanakh. Now that's something that's not Bittul Torah. And in fact, there's a Gemara Megillah that says it's Bittul Torah for the Bat Midrashim to go hear the Kriyas Megillah. Now we do it. So the Gemara says, because Pursumi Nisa Adif. You know, but it's better that the Pursumi Nisa is done with a lot of people. So we have all the Bat Midrashim, right? We have Lakewood, you know, hearing Kriyas Megillah, thousands of people, and we don't consider it Bittul Torah because of Pursumi Nisa. So I believe it's the Rashash over there speaks out that's only because we're reading it. We're not learning it over there. So that's something that's below actual the learning they would be doing otherwise. Yeah. So, you know, I basically just said the Eitzah you're supposed to be doing over here. You know, you should learn Mikra, learn it properly. That takes care of all the problems. It takes care of apikursis. It takes care of Bittul Torah. You say there's a problem of Eichus in the learning. But there's another Gemara. There's a Gemara that says that learning Mikra is Mida ve'ena Mida. Right? Learning Mikra is Mida ve'ena Mida. Mishnah is Mida, is Mida. You get Schar for it. And the Gemara ain't lecha Mida g'dayla mizu. But still, you should run after Mishnah. Rabbi went back. He said he should go after Mishnah. I mean, the Gemara gives a little historical background to that. After Rebbe said this, he said that when you learn Mikra, you don't get schar for it. You learn Mishnah, you get schar for it. And Gemara is the greatest, so everyone started learning Gemara without learning the Mishnah first. So Rebbe said, wait a second, you know, we can't have that. He said, always run after Mishnah first. So why? Like our friend over here was pointing out, you can't learn understand Gemara without Mishnah. You need to learn the Mishnah. If we're saying that learning Gemara is the greatest, it's the most, you know, quality-wise, it's the greatest gleam you could do, that doesn't mean you don't have to know Tanakh and Mishnah. There's a Rashi that brings down a Medrash by Kechaloisi Ladabri Itai, when Moshe Rabbeinu came down after Hashem spoke to him. Kechaloisi Ladabri Itai, like a Kala when he spoke to him. That means that Hashem gave him Kol HaTorah Kula, Al Chav Dalid Sifri Kaidish, Tanakh. He taught him, he told him everything, really. And Mishnayis Gemara, he taught him everything. And the Medrash says, Kichala, that has all these different jewelry, has 24 different pieces of jewelry that they used to put on her. It was really a symbolism for the Chavdalah Sifri Kaidish. That, you know, if you have this, then you're adorned. This is a proper Torah. And there's somebody has a girsa, Barbanella has a girsa in that Medrash. It says, and if you're missing one of them, it's like you don't have anything. you're missing a part, a chelik of Torah. You won't really want to understand Torah. You're missing something. It's not shlema. So everybody has to learn it. It's not, you can't say that, oh, since learning Gemara is greater, so I'll spend all my time in Gemara. You have to know. You have to know Tanakh. And the Gemara gives an eitzah. It tells you, Laylam yishalish adam shneisav. In the first parak of Kedushin, Laylam yishalish adam shneisav. Always split up your years. Spend a third on Mikra, a third on Mishnah, a third on Gemara. So Gemara asks, what do you mean split up years? You don't know how many years you're going to live. So Teretz is, you split up your days. So either means the days of the week, or the most people learn it's every day, like the Rambam. The Rambam says every day, you have nine, say somebody has 9 hours to learn, 3 hours Mikra, 3 hours Mishnah, 3 hours Gemara. And once you know Mishnah, Mikra and Mishnah, so you don't have to spend so much time on them. You go, you know, you just chazer it from time to time. You spend a little bit of time every day so you don't forget it. And spend most of your time on Gemara. You learn, you know, asking kasha from here to there, coming up with svaras, getting everything clear. That's what you're supposed to be spending the rest of your life on. That's the main thing. But he's pointing out like that the Gemara is saying, you have to know Mikra and Mishnah. No, you know, it's no excuse. You know, what about people don't have that much time? I mean, the Chayyadim says that, of course, people, you know, Balabatim, don't have more than a few hours a day, you know, and I'm sure, you know, that sounds like a lot for most people here, a few hours a day. He says, like, oh, they should be spending time mostly on halacha, because everyone has, you can't do something, right? You're going to be doing things wrong all the day, and you won't even know that you're doing something wrong. You have to know halacha l'maisa. So, you know, but, you know, there's, what about, you know, lachem e'vashem, they're going to ask you, the Gemara said, they're going to ask you, did you, in Alam Haba, they're going to ask you, did you learn, somebody's going to come and he said, you know, he knows Vayikra, can ask, why didn't you finish Chumash? You know, you learned one Seder of Mishnah, why didn't you finish that? So, you know, there is a chiyuv, there's lots of makaris for that, there's a chiyuv, you know, some, over the course of your life, like, try to cover everything, you know, at least if you try, you know, Hashem can have tainus on you. So there's another Gemara that so we'll start with the Shach really. This Gemara of Shalish Adam Shnaisa, splitting up your day, trying to learn something from everything every day, is brought down in Halacha. It's a Shulchan Aruch Paskin's like that. He doesn't Paskin, you know, don't learn Mikra. Says learn it, and you know it's brought down actually in the Mishnah Berurah, it's in Kuf Nun Hey. In Hilchos it says about being kavei itim every day. So he points out over there that every day you should learn Mikra, which is Tanakh, Mishnah, Gemara, Halacha. You should learn something. You know, be have a well-rounded day. He also points out somewhere else that you should learn Musar every day. It's a different inyan. The Litvish. Okay, so learn Chassidus. There's, now we find, okay, so we find, but we find a Shach, actually, this is brought down in Resh Mem Vav in Yaredea. This previous siman talks about the chiyuv of a father to teach his son Torah. So he's supposed to hire Malamed. So what is he mechuyev to teach his son and our higher malamid for? So the Shach says over there that you really don't have to have the malamid teach him the entire Tanakh. It's good enough, you know, it's good enough he teaches him Chumash, he teaches him how to read. He doesn't have to teach him the entire Tanakh. Why? Because there's a Taisvis over there on that Gemara, Yishalash Adam Shnaisav, which says that, oh, no, you don't have to learn Tanakh every day, is what it sounds like. Rebbeinu Tam says, no, really, we're saimech that Talmud Bavli is a combination of everything. It's called Bavl, it's mixed. So, it's mixed, it has, it brings down Pesukim, it's Mefarish them, brings down Mishnayis. You don't have to, like, spend time on each different little thing. And that's what we're saimech on nowadays in the yeshivas. We, you know, we're sitting learning Gemara all day. That's what Rebbeinu Tam says over there. And the Shach says, based on that, a father doesn't have to teach his son everything. Just get it, you know, hire a malamid, teach him Gemara. So why we started at such a young age, actually, when it says in Mishnah 15, I mean, just one of the terrorism of the Yisrael Salanter says that now, you know, nowadays we have so much past Gemara, that, you know, learning, there's like the Rambam says, Gemara is really asking kashas and kamei with chedush and being chayker and darish and everything like that. So that you can start when you're 15. But what's Mishnah nowadays is what they would call Gemara in those days. The basics of Torah Shabbat Peh and Mikra. I think even says like it's counted as Mikra, like learning Gemara. So that's why they're like starting when they're 10. That's just an aside.
Yeah,
sure.
When Gemara quotes mm-hmm. Generally, they're fragments of psukim without context. So you don't have any. If you don't learn enough, then you have no context to understand what the quotation, what the citation is about. And I don't think they take the time to really go into the context and explaining it.
You're very right.
It's just trying to bring a raya by a word.
Yeah, they knew what they were talking about.
In a short pasuk and being a raya, what they're trying to expect.
Yeah, we find in fact that they weren't always very like medactic in exactly what the pasukim were. You know, it wasn't a necessity. I hope I'm not being too controversial here, but there's they knew it. That's true. They definitely learned it at some point. Just bringing up a Gemara above Basra over here. I hope everyone takes it correctly. There's a Gemara, the Taisvis over here points out that not always they were medactic in Psukim. Somebody, Taisvis says there's a Gemara above a Kama where Amara got asked a Kasha from a Pasuk. Really, Shiloh.
Non-existent.
Right, well, I'm not sure. He said, go to somebody else. I'm not even sure. So, you know, they obviously, okay, I'm sure he could have pulled out a Sefer Torah and checked it. What the wording and the lettering of the pasuk was, but if he doesn't feel he's comfortable with it, he wasn't just somebody, you know, off the cuff, like, oh, I know all the answers. He said, you know, if I'm not clearing the pasuk, I'm not going to answer for you. Go to him; he'll know it. So we find that they weren't as, you know, weren't as medactic and psukim. You know, there was obviously they didn't spend, you know, all day on just learning mikra. Okay. But in the Gemara, obviously, they knew they could tear apart a pasuk. Like we have to spend like hours just trying to figure out how they did a drasha. You know, why did they read it like this, not like that? You could go from today to tomorrow on one daf if you're trying to pick apart every single drasha they make. Definitely become a big Talmud Chacham from it, but it's incredible. So obviously, they did learn mikra. Now, when did they learn it? I mean, if father doesn't have to teach it to them, when did they learn it? So all the Echrenim, you know, jump on that shach, and they all ask cash in the shach. They don't even seem to hold like it. They say, how can you say something like that? Obviously, you have to learn mikra. So, I mean, I think that Pasha Teretz is, the shach is saying that you don't have a chiyuv to teach it to your son. Why? Like the Echrenim say that even if you didn't learn it when you were a kid, right? Even if you went to Mishnah and Gemara, but you still have a chiyuv sometime later in your life to fill in the gaps. I mean, there's in fact more gap than you have filled in. You know you have the whole Tanakh to learn, and when you're older, you'll be able to spend time with it. Of course, you know, I always got frustrated when they would tell me things like that in yeshiva. You know, when am I supposed to finish Shas? So when you're older, you know, yeah, when I'm after 10 years of Kaila, you know, of learning. Learning in a quarter of a mesechta a year, so then I'll somehow be able to find time when I'm actually busy with family and everything like that to learn entire shas properly. Yeah, okay. It's always a frustrating taina when you're older.
That's but where the daf yomi comes in.
It's helping a lot. it's a beautiful thing. It's that everyone's, you know, it's unheard of that such a large chelik of Klal Yisrael would actually take time to like put it. Even go for that goal of finishing Shas, and not to mention all the people that finished. It's incredible. But, you know, that's not what they had in mind.
But more and more as the years go.
Yeah. But you don't want to know what they used to tell me in the Shiva world of about Daf Yomi, but I'm very pro it. So, when you're older, you learn Tanakh. But it is an essential point because, again, the Menei Benachem Menei Goyen, don't let them sit and read Tanakh. Why? Because it's going to be Meshech. It's going to pull them, and, you know, it's going to pull them to Apokrisis. Why? Because, as I pointed out, there's a lot of very good examples I could bring. You know, Shimshon going and marrying somebody because, oh, she was appealing to him, even though she was a plishti. David and Yehinasan, the people we won't talk about in the Beis Medrash, try to bring them as a raya that, you know, for their shita. You know, these things, just if they read it, if you read it without having Chazal to guide you, and you're just following Yetzer Hara, you're trying to see what you want to see in the Psukim, you can find excuses for all your Krumashitas. Scripture, right? What? Yeah, they try to bring, these people that don't even believe, barely believe in God, and, you know, Scripture itself says that certain things are abominations. They'll bring a raya from later on that it's actually an okay thing, like as if David, wouldn't have known the Pasuk. And wouldn't have followed it. Anyways, yeah. Well, getting back to that thing, the Benachman again, don't let them sit and read. Now, when somebody's older, though, if somebody sat and learned, Yiras Hashem Tahira, like the brother of the Shlah says, and the Chasim Sefer says, the Achronim talk about, once you already know how to learn, you understand Yiddishkeit, and then you learn the Tanakh, it's a whole different story. You get to see the lessons in it. I try to learn Tanakh every day. I don't want to be somebody Nara Dairish, Shveni Mekayim. You get to see, even just learning Rashi, the way he learns a Pasuk, why did he learn the Perek like that? And you look back an entire Perek, and it's saying very profound things that you would have never thought of. Very deep hashkafas. I hope you're appreciating what you're learning with Ephraim Levine. And it's very, very deep. I mean, we're talking about mikra here, right? Like we say, chumash, everything's hidden in the Torah. Everything in the world is hidden in the Torah. It's a blueprint for everything. You keep digging, you find things deeper and deeper. I mean, Nach is very, very similar. Everything in Nach is merumah in the Torah. The Gemara says. It's more kind of an expansion, and we can really relate to it a lot, to the way that it says over the stories. It's stories, like stories of tzaddikim, things that we can relate to. But this is when you're older, when he's a kid, and he's going to be reading it himself, he's going to get the wrong ideas. So you can have a malamid, like they used to do in time of the mission. You have a malamid for 5 to 10, he's teaching him, and he teaches them how to learn it, he teaches them the proper pshat and the psukim. When you're older, you can open up and learn with Mefarshim. And you won't get the wrong ideas from that. So the Baal Tanya says in Hilchos Talmud Torah, it's a beautiful sefer. It talks about it's not just Shulchan Aruch HaRav, he talks about has a few prakam on Hilchos Talmud Torah. It's incredible. I mean, if you read it, it's very, very inspiring how he tells everybody, how to keep trying to learn Kala Tura Kula, and it tries to figure out Eitzes, how many hours a day, and it's very, very inspiring. It's a beautiful, beautiful work. And he has over there, he talks about that when you're older, even if you didn't finish Mikra, now you can learn it on your own, and you just try to finish it. It's one of the halachas. And the simplicity of just learning Pashpashan and the Psukim is really the issue here, I believe. The Chasim Sefer says it. He has a drasha at the end of Parshas Shemais last week. He talks about drasha l'chved ha-Torah. And he talks about the Asara B'Tevis, and that the Torah was written into Greek. And he says over there that really Apikursis came to the world when the Torah was translated into Greek, because before that people were in awe of the Chazal. No, the Chazal were the only people that could understand the Psukim. You had to go to a Rebbe to learn it properly. When you write it with simplicity in a different language, that other language can't have the entire depth of meaning of Lashon HaKodesh. And they had to just do Pasha Pshat of Perush HaMilos, just translation of the words. And that's where Apikursis comes from, when people just read it as a storybook and they don't realize what they're reading, the depth of what they're reading. So that takes care of that, Taina. As long as you're learning it properly, it'll never be a problem. It should only cause good things. In fact, there's Rabbi Yaakov has a line. This is where Reisman enjoys staying over. That he says there's three things that got stolen from us from Torah. One is, what is Nach, another one is Diktuk, and another one is Eretz Yisrael. So he says, why? The Nach, the Christians stole Nach from us. Right. They started
interpreting it their ways.
Right. And at Dikduk. The Maskilim took. They were very, very into Dikduk. You know, like, they know better. Of course, and Eretz Yisrael is taken, stolen by the Tzionim, right? It says, you know, for anybody who's pro Eretz Yisrael, like Viad, he says, well, now it's not a problem. We can take them all back. The Christians don't learn Nach anymore. There's no Maskilim anymore. And Tzionim, and the people we used to call the Tzionim don't care about Eretz Yisrael anymore either. So we can have them all back. So,
non-from people sometimes brag that they haven't been to Yerushalayim in 20 years.
They're proud of it.
The whole country, you can drive it in an hour practically, you know, but they don't go to Yerushalayim.
They went to Tel Aviv, they went to the Chof, and they went to...
Wherever, Eilat.
Eilat, yeah, of course, duty-free.
So it's the front crowd that's been...
Yeah, we got to take it back.
Who said that was Rabbi Yaakov?
That was Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. He used to give a shir. He gave a shir for many years on Tanakh. I think Rishal Gefeivel Mendelovich also used to give. In fact, I got a CD once of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, his Hakdama to Tanakh, before he started giving that Seder. He gave like a whole drush on it. I got the CD. It was the only time I ever heard his voice on that CD. And he gave for many years. He gave on Tanakh. And Rabowski is also very pro learning Tanakh. Of course, he learned it himself. In fact, he has a funny story. The first time he gave a Daf Yomi Shir for Igun Shir Torah. I don't know how many times he did it, but they called him in. I think it was Igun Shir, or Kololoshin. He subbed for somebody, he gave a Daf Yomi Shir. And the Gemara over there brought down the Memra of what people say of L'cha, L'cha, Amrin, L'nzira, Secher, Secher, L'kamra, L'sikra, that we always tell you to keep away from a Averas. Don't walk next to the Averas. You might fall in. The example, right, the mashal is to another, we don't say, don't walk through the vineyard, you're all these yummy grapes, or you might come to eat something. And so he said, walk around it, keep away from the vera. So everyone reads a lecha, lecha, to you, right, to you. He read it, lach, lach, amrin l'nazira, z'cher, z'cher, l'kamer, tikrav, lach, lach, says it's a pasuk in Daniel. Pasuk in Daniel says, lach, lach, amrin l'malka. It's a Lushan, it's in Aramaic. The word is lach lach. We don't find lecha lecha in Aramaic. So he got so many phone calls after that. People calling him up, what do you mean? My Rebbe and Cheder read it, lecha lecha, or lech lech, go go. Like, why in the world are you pronouncing it so weird? He said it's a pasuk, he told everything he wanted. It's a pasuk in Daniel. It says the Aramaic word is lach lach, lach lach amrin l'malka, lach lach amrin l'nazira. It's clear, it's open and shut case. And one guy just was so frustrated with him that he shlugged him up from an open pasuk in Daniel. He said, to learn Daniel. Who told you to learn Daniel? Just not a level playing field over here. You know, I'm talking from like Bayach Svar over here, and you're pulling out an open pasuk in Daniel. He just got so frustrated with that. So he talks about how, you know, we should make like a little Seder over there. And I know people in Yeshiva that do that. In fact, one of them is a variant of Rav Hirsch. And he said, he found in Cherev that Rav Hirsch says, don't rely on that kula of Taisvis of just learning Talmud Bavli. You have to see the Pesukim yourself. I think it's Davar Pashut. Even Rabbeinu Tam, he's saying, that's what we're saying in Yeshivas. He's saying that as long as you're learning the Pesukim too, so you can spend most of the day on Talmud Bavli. Because it's a mixture of everything. It's not, he's trying to for why we're spending so long at Talmud Bavli, we're not spending the time necessary to master the Pesukim, and that's a good svara. I mean, like I pointed out in the Taisa and Bava Basra, it seems they didn't spend all day learning Mikra, they didn't spend have a whole Seder in Mikra. They tried to chaver from time to time to refresh it, right? I know people have learned two prakim a day of Tanakh. So you finish in a year. Two prakim doesn't take that much time once you've done it a few times, just to learn Pashut Pshat. So it's not like Gemara, you know, if you're learning a daf, takes more time than that. It's, that's really what Rabbeinu Tam was saying. And when that shach is just, I think, is just trying to find for why you can get away with not hiring a melamed.
Yeah. It seems like all the arguments against learning are defensive ones. They're like, well, what will the apikorism say? Or everybody will turn into an apikorism. Rather than emphasizing the teaching of it in a positive way, so you A, so that you learn that when you're young, and B, that you da mala hashid. So it's hard for me to understand this negative attitude.
That's it. It is a little hard for me to understand too. I'll just put machshava there that the way, I mean, as good yidden, the way we're supposed to be looking at things is, what is the halacha? What are we supposed to be doing? And once we know that, now we can say, okay, what are the problems with doing this? And then figure out how do we get around those problems. Now, instead of working with, okay, what are the problems? Okay, we have to avoid them, so we'll just keep away from this. And going against halacha, it's not what we're supposed to be doing, it's from yidden. The halacha said, brings down lemaisa, even to even a mishabru, you can look it up, all the achron and paskin, you're supposed to be learning mikra every day. Learning with your kid, if you can figure out, I'm not a, you know, I have no experience in chinuch, if somebody could figure out, I mean, they do say, they there's a maral mahalach to learn mikra, I'm not an expert in these things, I'm not going to vote on these things, but you can figure out.
Simply following what Pirkei Avos said.
Right, to, right.
Period.
Right.
But that's been dropped until relatively recently.
Well, you see, it was a problem at the time of the maral too. If you look at it, he emphasized it a lot because it was a problem in the yeshiva system of his days too. They would go
as there is now.
Right.
Are they doing that?
So it's not.
What is happening in Berlin, Jarvadas, and the high schools?
They spend. They have shiurim like at least a few times a week. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
That's widespread.
Right, they don't, you know, you can't just read, they can't just like read a pasuk on themselves and understand if it's saying past tense, future tense. So, right, and, you know, we can start learning diktuk again if the Meskilim dropped it. You know, of course, you know, the kids usually aren't so interested in diktuk. It's one of the problems, just like they're not interested in English grammar as a whole. So you have to be very careful how much you do give to them. Yeah, yeah, right.
A friend of mine went to Yeshiva Flapper, it's a Brit. And then he went to YU.
Uh-huh.
He said, in Yeshiva Flapper, the homework was to read the Perek and Chumash and look at the Rashi. And in class, they would discuss what happened.
Uh-huh.
Then he went to YU, and he went back to Taich. You can imagine, he went from high school to college, and in college, they're sitting there Taiching. You know, they never got to the full picture because they're too busy translating.
Right.
The language should have been the basic, and everyone coming out should have been learning the language, because once you know the Hebrew, the Aramaic would have been easy in Gemara. I mean, I still don't understand till this day that concept, that they don't teach them the language from the word go.
It's very important. See, people tend to skip over Rashi's like...
What?
That's where Eretz Yisrael has an advantage.
I know, but I went to Yeshiva Tavardas. And I tell us my kids who went to Yeshiva Flappers, I just can't understand this. I didn't speak Yiddish at home. So I'm learning Chumash, translating Chumash into Yiddish, and I don't know either language. I'm serious. And this went on for years. Then we get to the fifth grade, we're doing Gemara.
So you never learned to the English translation of a pasuk, right?
Now, I remember in high school when I took like Spanish and college, I took French.
Mm-hmm.
You learned it as a language. It's a list of vocabulary. Each story, you read a story, you had 20 vocabulary, you had it memorized, and the stories built up until you had a sense. And I never learned this. When we learned Gemara, it's purely rote. You know, the Rebbe never gave us like, okay, these are vocabulary words in this Mishnah. Let's study vocabulary. So when we go over the Mishnah, we'll understand what we're saying. And you know, never taught a sense
today.
A little more now, but it's still not done.
With words and translations.
That's the way it should have been. And European mentality, but it's still similar like that. There's no reason why a fourth or fifth grade in yeshiva should not be basic Hebrew, understanding present tense, you know, and basic verbs and stuff like that. And not
for sure. The Gra says the basis of learning Gemara is to be able to pick apart the word, understand what every word means. So that's why the Gemara says, always speak out what you're saying. Just speak it out. Why? Because the way you say the word, it'll register in your mind, oh, it's a past tense, it's how the inflection of how they're saying it. That you build it word by word, and then you understand the phrase, and you understand the concept. If you work the other way around, you're trying to understand the concept, you don't even understand the word. I mean, I know people waste time like that.
My point is that you get so involved in the language that you never get to the whole picture of the Gemara. You never get to the total picture, the arguments, that's the real gist of the Gemara. That's
right.
The point. You're just hung up in trying to understand the language as opposed to trying to understand the arguments that are going on. The difference.
Right. Well, if there was, if they could bring the message across of how of just understand clearly what the words meant, then you can move. Then you can move on to the arguments. If you work with the arguments, then they'll be able to learn a Gemara on their own.
I'm just saying. So,
yeah.
This is what happens.
Yeah. You had a important objection. I don't know what to say about translating to Yiddish. I mean, I did it in my cheder also. We translated into Yiddish. I did learn Yiddish from it, and I believe I understood most of the words eventually. But I always wondered about that. I always wondered. It's some things we do because that's it's the traditional. It feels right. Right? People like to do things to their highness.
That's true.
That's another point.
Yeah.
Right. But still, nowadays they right. A lot of yeshivas are Yiddish.
Sure. They only spoke Yiddish. Same thing.
I had one or two American rabbis, and they were good rabbis.
So I knew Yiddish.
My rabbis, I had a couple of American rabbis that translated into English. I mean, it made sense. But the fact is, I never learned the language of the Gemara. You know, I can see when someone reads the Gemara and he explains, but I still don't understand the basic Hebrew and the likes.
Right. Well, you can try.
No. I was once on a plane, a girl next to me, come from Israel, she was reading a Hebrew book. She asked me a word, I said, I have no idea. You don't know Hebrew? I said, how do you daven if you don't know Hebrew? I mean, she said very clearly, I looked at her, I said, yes.
You're right. Sorry. Don't rub it in. Yeah. They say, right, this.
My wife understands him more than, she davens much better than me. She understands 100 times more than I do.
Hebrew. Because in the yeshivas, they don't learn the taich of the davening. Many of them just don't know what the words mean.
Yeah.
Especially difficult words.
That's a problem.
Yeah. So when we rush through davening, I was looking at Tehillim. If you look at Tehillim and you translate, it's very, very complex. Very, very difficult.
Sure it is.
Mm-hmm. So when you go through the Tehillim, like the Halukas, and you go through them like 30 seconds, it doesn't matter, it's 30, 40
That's
seconds.
That's what they say,
Ugedal. It takes 10 minutes to really go through it slowly to understand it.
That's what they say,
Ugedal. I think that really helped me with that interlinear theater they came out with in Art School. I remember when that came out, I was like, I have to get this.
It's hard when you doubt it to keep up with it.
Right, but I wasn't following the entire, I wasn't following the entire diving in there. But,
Before Shana, I have one with the English, and I'll do one I'll do in Hebrew, and the next one I'll do in English. And English takes longer than the Hebrew, because the Hebrew, I don't understand what's going on, but the English, you stop to think about what
you're saying,
it takes
longer. should be your worst problem. Yeah, it's funny, that point about the girls learning, they learn Tanakh, they learn Safa, right? And like I was asking somebody, why don't we learn Tanakh? He said, it's like Silbash, Gever Simlath Isha.
A friend of mine went to Torah Zemes, his sister went to Flapper Shishu.
Yeah.
And when his friends were over to learn, right, whenever they came to something in Tanakh, they called her in from the kitchen and asked
her,
here's the Tanakh
question. Yeah.
It's true, but you know it's true.
I know it's true.
I'll say this story only because it's been published already, but there's a story with Reb Shach and this, I guess the Rebbetzin of BJJ, that's the way I heard it, that they met together, and I don't know, he said over a pasuk, and he said it like a little bit wrong. I don't know. He said one of the words a little bit wrong. So the Rebbetzin from BJJ came over and told him that, you know, the pasuk's not like that. So he said, "What do you mean? I know the pasuk's like this." She said, "Well, I know Tanakh, and the pasuk's not like that." So she went to get a Tanakh. He went to get a Gemara. He pulled out the Gemara. I think it was in, maybe brought in a Taisvis, and Taisvis had the pasuk exactly the way Rav Shach said it. She pulled out the Tanakh, and Tanakh had it exactly the way she said it. So.
I mean, the Tosfos didn't know grammar either.
Well, Tosfos wasn't, there was no reason for it to be medactic on it. It wasn't Negev, the Pasuk, the thing. But Rishach remembered it first, like he knew Tosfos better than he knew Tanakh. I'm sure he learned Tanakh at some point in his life, but, you know, like a few times. But to that Tosfos, you know, he just had it in front of his eyes. It was like, I know Klur, that's the way the Pasuk is. And so it's funny that it became like the domain of
they learned
of girls.
Was it on a cloth when they learned Tanakh before printing press? They learned how to Tanakh without the kudot.
Right, right, and that's another point with the Shach, with the fact that you don't have to teach, you don't have to hire a rebbe to teach them the entire Tanakh. So a lot of Achren are masking to that only because if you teach them how to read, again, you also have to teach them how to read and understand, then they'll be able to learn to the rest of Tanakh on their own. So it's like you taught them Tanakh. It's like you taught them Mikra, which the Gemara says you have to teach them. So that, you know, the fact that we have Nekudos, it's all in front of you. We can open up a Tanakh, you have the Nekudos. If you take your time, you can understand the words, you can look them afresh, you can understand the concepts. So the potential is there as long as you start them off, you start them on the journey. And so that's just a reason why they don't have to, you know, you don't have to let them get stuck in the entire Tanakh before they even learn Mishnayos in the Chedarim.
You're learning it parallel, you know, you could be doing that,
Yeah, why one class a day? I'm asking. As I said, like in Tarva Das, I don't know how many times a day they did. I didn't go there from a sifta, but I know some people that go up at least a few times a week to give them something in Tanakh. It's actually counted for credits for English, like Jewish history. So it's very well. It's good, you know. They're learning something in the afternoon. Why not?
Why not?
Why not? It's Jewish history. It is Jewish history. They're not pulling anyone's, you know.
I had a cousin who went to Yeshiva in Connecticut where they gave him like a bachelor's. You know, they learned and they gave him a bachelor's in business. He knew nothing. Literally, didn't know what he mean. I don't know what they taught him.
Well, I know somebody who was going for a degree in business and he just quit. He was like, you know, I'm not learning anything here. He went off and became like...
became literally
a millionaire. Some of the loudest thing stuff that gets is common sense. I mean, that's only if you're born with a lot of social and a skill and have to have the brain for it on your own. But I guess they do teach you something in business school. Yeah. Anyways, but this
teach
is...
You to follow the laws.
Do they? They do. They have a class in ethics.
Well, I guess
you
didn't take that class.
You know... They said about that philosopher, they caught him, like the philosophers weren't such great people in the olden days, and they caught him doing something despicable, his students, and they asked him, like, what do you mean you always teach us about ethics and all these wonderful things? And he's like, well, I taught mathematics for many years, nobody expected me to become a square. So yeah, you can learn ethics of intellectual pursuit. It's, in real life, you know, people want money. People want to do what they want. They don't want to be meshuvah to anybody else's ideals. It's a liberal world of nowadays. Just whatever everyone wants, that's what's right. Anyways, Baruch Hashem, you know, I think I want to just get back to that pshat in Rashi. I don't know if I have time for it. Yeah, 3 minutes. The pshat in Rashi. Rashi says Shema Yimashech. Because Yimashech, that they're going to sit and read, it's going to pull them. So, thank you. It's a Rashi in Brachos Chavches Amud Aleph, Chavches Amud Beis, sorry. And so the popular pshat is Shema Yimashech Leapikursus. Now there's no hint of that in Rashi. You know, I like always finding a pashut pshat in Rashi, not just what we wanted to say. And in Echnami, it's a good svara that it did cause apikursus, just reading pashut pshat and psukim. But I think Shami Yimashech means it'll pull you in. In other words, they'll get stuck on Mikra, just spending all day on Mikra. And as I pointed out before, that learning, just reading Tanakh, not darshing it properly, not learning out what you're supposed to learn out from it and what we could learn out from it, is that's a bitl tara be'echus, like they call it in the yeshiva world. It's not you're learning less quantity-wise, but quality-wise, it's a problem. So you don't get them in the habit of just spending all day sitting and reading Tanakh, because that's what they're going to do. They're not going to be interested in, you know, being derish and chaker, even in the psukim themselves. So that's all he's saying. He's just saying, don't give them, you know, a Torah scroll and say, okay, you know, go chazer iyev. Encourage them to learn deeper, to learn Mishnayos, especially in those days. The reason why Rebbe said, mida ve'ine mida, you don't get schar for learning Mikra. What, you don't get schar for learning Mikra? Again, Zachrenim say, based on what we've said before, is that it's bitl tara be'echus. If you're sitting and learning Mikra when you should be learning Mishnah or Gemara, then you don't get schar for it. I believe that's the, I mean, I saw in the great sefer Patarsa Yaga that he has two terutzim for that mida veini mida. One of them is not as much schar as Mishnah, but that's pshat in the Mishnah. Mida. It's mida.
Torah is Torah.
Yeah, Torah.
Right. Torah is Torah. Of course, he gets some schar.
Priority
right.
Here.
Right.
And I don't see Torah.
You should
right.
Read Rashi on Vav. Pasuk Vav. Malchus Achshavos.
Make okay.
Right,
so obviously you get schar for it. The question is, if you know yatzah schar be'af seder, the way Teres Yega, like that's his second Teres, is that yatzah schar be'af seder. If Hashem wants you to be doing something else right now, instead, you know, you're taking it easy and you're spending all day doing nach, then yatzah schar be'af seder. That's what it's saying. Mida ve'ena mida, that you're not getting schar for it because you're not doing what Hashem wants you to do right now. But of course, you have to learn. You have to make sure you know nach.
So how do we know that? Well, why is that being said? Not doing what Hashem wants. Talmud Torah, Tanakh is. Why is that not what Hashem wants?
He doesn't want you to spend all day on it.
He
no, he doesn't want you to spend all day. That's what's saying. Mida ve'ena mida. But you, Rabbi Natan would say, I'll let you get away with that. But no, you can't spend all day in Gemara because when are you going to learn Tanakh, right? Or you're going to learn Mishnah. Right. Or Halacha Lamaithid. When are they learning Halacha Lamaithid? When you get older. That was another one of them. Get older, when you're in Kalil, you learn Halacha. Like right now, you can make as many mistakes as you want. I was a little bit of rebellious when I was in Yeshiva. So I think that's Pshat in that Rashi, is Meneat B'nucha Menei Gayin. Because that they make sure that they're being encouraged to move further quality wise, you know, Tanakh should always be something they have though. You have to make sure. Listen, we have to mechazik ourselves. I think it's a wonderful thing that you guys are doing, learning Ezra, and whatever. I hope I was a little bit of a chizik for you. Okay, thank you for listening.